The scripture reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the text we will be considering is verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. The text is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, every year when Thanksgiving comes around, when Thanksgiving Day comes around, the question must necessarily be asked, what is the meaning and what is the purpose of Thanksgiving Day? For the child of God, the answer is easy. It's a day in which we as God's people gather together and thank God, our Father, for everything He has given us. It's a day in which we set aside time to gather, to have a service, to dwell on what true thanksgiving is, and to worship God with our thanks. And it's good that we do that. God, as our God, deserves all our days. And it's a small thing for us to gather here this morning and have this time set aside to worship God and thank Him together. But what does Thanksgiving mean to those who are not Christians? To those who don't acknowledge that all things come from God's providential hand? What does Thanksgiving Day mean for them? Today, when the families of the world gather around their kitchen tables, and they have that food in front of them, and they're about to begin, how are they going to open? To whom are they going to give thanks? Are they going to give thanks to themselves for what they have in front of them? Are they going to thank Lady Luck or Chance for what they've been given? You see, Thanksgiving Day and the whole idea of giving thanks has become meaningless to many people today. And you see that. The people of the world realize that themselves. We see that in how Thanksgiving Day and all of Thanksgiving Week is treated. All week long, we're bombarded by Thanksgiving sales. This is what you can buy on Good Friday. It's called on Black Friday. We have all these sales, and Black Friday has now become Black Thursday, so that everyone's in the stores even today shopping. You even see it in how people call Thanksgiving Day. No longer is it Thanksgiving Day, but more and more it's Happy Turkey Day. And even on Thanksgiving Day, people spend their days in front of the TV watching the football game or shopping. And the whole idea of actually giving thanks is overlooked. There's nothing wrong with sales or watching the football game, but the whole idea of actually giving thanks is overlooked. And what about for those who, from a materialistic point of view, don't have much to be thankful for? Thanksgiving Day for them is only a reminder of everything they could buy if only they had the money. It's a reminder that other people have it better off than they do. It's a day, perhaps, of bitterness that they try to drown out by entertainment, by shopping, and by eating. When it comes down to it, the people of this world don't have any real use for Thanksgiving Day. And people of God, because we live in this world, we are also threatened and tempted to think this way as well. We're tempted to fall into the same kind of sins of greed and gluttony, to spend the day looking at everything we could buy instead of looking at everything God has given to us. And we need to be impressed this morning with just how blessed we are as God's people. Because when Thanksgiving Day has lost its meaning for so many, we know where we give thanks. We know what this day means. We know we can be thankful to God for everything. This morning, we're going to look at that. We're going to look first at what the meaning of true thanksgiving is. And then, seeing the meaning of thanksgiving, we're going to see how we as Christians have reason, and we alone really have reason for thanksgiving. And we're going to also see how it's possible, and really only possible, for the Christian to be truly thankful. We take as our theme then this morning, giving thanks in everything. We look at that theme in 3 points: the meaning, the reason, and the possibility. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything, give thanks. To be able to give thanks in everything, we must know what thanksgiving is. What is the meaning of thanksgiving? Well, we can break down that idea of thanksgiving into two parts, two components, or two elements. And the first element of true thanksgiving is this: that in thanksgiving, we give God all the glory. That our aim is God's honor and God's praise. That we acknowledge everything we have has come from God, and we honor God and give God the glory with that. That this is a part of thanksgiving is clear when we look at a few biblical examples. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13, when King David calls the people to give for the building of the temple, and the people give generously of their wealth, David turns to God and gives him thanks. And we read there, David prays and says, Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. David thanks God by glorifying God's name. In Daniel 2, verse 23, Daniel gives thanks to God for being given the ability to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel says there, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Daniel thanks God by praising him. And in the New Testament, we have that event of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. You children know that story, don't you? There were 10 lepers that Jesus had healed, but there was only one who returned and gave Jesus the thanks. And how did that one leper give Jesus the thanks? We read in Luke 17, verse 16, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks." They glorified God when they gave him the thanks. In giving our thanks, our aim is the glory of God. As obvious as that may seem, it's important to remember. Because for many, when they give thanks, their aim isn't God's glory, but their aim is their own glory and their own honor. Think, for example, of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." In that prayer, that Pharisee wasn't concerned at all with giving God the glory. He was thanking God, but his aim was giving himself the glory. "Father, God, look at everything that I have done and everything I am." His thanksgiving wasn't a true thanksgiving at all. Or think of the 10 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament in Amos' day, right before God was going to destroy the 10 tribes by the hands of the Assyrians. Those 10 tribes had apostatized, but they had kept up a show of worshiping God. They had kept giving God the offerings of thanksgiving and the sacrifices of thanks to God. But in Amos 4, verse 5, God speaks to the people with sarcasm and tells them this. Because the people were only doing it out of ritual and custom. They weren't doing it for God's glory, aiming at His honor. And God says this to the people: "And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God." And what God was saying there was this: you Israelites can give me all the thanks you want. You can give me as many sacrifices as you want, but I hate it. I will not accept it, because you do not aim at my glory. You do it merely out of custom and ritual. And that attitude is prevalent today. I dare say that there are going to be many today who are going to sit around the kitchen table and bow their heads in a prayer of thanksgiving. But their prayers won't be prayers that give true thanksgiving to God, because they won't be first and foremost concerned with God's glory and God's honor. Because if they were concerned about God's glory and honor, they wouldn't be praying to Him merely one day out of the year, but they would be giving Him their thanks with everything in their lives. They pray thanking a God they don't know, expressing gratitude to a God they, in the end, don't care about. When our families gather around our kitchen tables this afternoon, what is our aim going to be when we bow our heads in prayer? Will our aim be like that of the Pharisee, to say unto God thanks and show God everything that we have been able to do and accomplish with what He's given us, so that we might receive the glory? Or are we going to be like the 10 tribes who bow our heads in prayer only out of custom and ritual, saying our prayer as fast as we can so we can get quickly to eating the food that's on the table? Or when we pray, will we be aiming at God's glory, giving God the praise for everything that's on the table, for everyone who's around the table, for everything that God has given to us, aiming at His glory, and even using the food that's on the table and eating that food so that with that food and the nourishment we get from that food, we can use it to glorify God in the rest of our lives. Ultimately, true thanksgiving involves acknowledging that without the gift of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. To give thanks is to confess that without the cross, all our earthly and material things are not blessings for us. It is to acknowledge that without Jesus Christ as our Savior, even the food that's on the table would serve for our condemnation, because we would use that food to sin more in our lives rather than live lives of thankfulness. True thanksgiving means humbling ourselves in the dust and giving God the glory in everything. The second element of true thanksgiving is this, that we have a sincere joy and contentment in our hearts for what God gives us and sends our way. Thanksgiving involves joy and gladness. That becomes clear when we look at that word for thanksgiving itself. The word that is used in verse 18 for thanksgiving is a word that right in the middle of it, we find that word grace. Literally, the word means to show a favor. That's what thanksgiving is. The idea is that someone has blessed us and we respond by showing that person a gracious expression of thanksgiving, to show that we're truly content and happy with the favor bestowed on us. To thank God is to have the attitude that we are content and satisfied with what He has given us. That true thanksgiving involves joy and gladness is clear from our everyday experiences. Think, for example, of the little child who at Christmas time unwraps his gift and he doesn't like what he sees. You can tell right away from the expression, from the attitude of that child isn't thankful, because it's frowning. It's not glad or happy with what it has been given. And then with that child, we teach the child to say thank you, because we want to impress upon the child thanksgiving involves an attitude that not only should you be happy outwardly, but it should come from the heart, an attitude of being happy and content with what one has been given. And when we look at the second element of true thanksgiving, it becomes clear why true thanksgiving can sometimes be difficult for us. Because giving thanks is not something, first of all, that you say with the lips, but it's an attitude that arises out of the heart. It's an attitude that says, in everything God has given me, in everything God has sent my way, in all my circumstances, I am content, I am glad, and joyful. And when we struggle to give thanks, it's ultimately because we're struggling with a heart attitude problem. That old man of sin that doesn't want us to be glad when God's will is done, but only wants to be happy when our will is done. Now, to say that thanksgiving involves being glad and happy for what God has given us is not to say that in everything we must be ecstatic or thrilled, bouncing off our seats with what God has given us. That's not what we mean when we talk about being joyful and glad in thanksgiving. The Bible teaches us often that we need to be patient in adversity and endure through adversity. But even through trying times, even when we're grieving and suffering, we still can give true thanksgiving and are called to give true thanksgiving. And what Paul means by giving thanks is this. We tell God we're happy with His plans. We are glad that God is fulfilling His purposes in and through my life. That we are happy He's glorifying His own name as He wants to in our lives. And when we give thanks in the midst of sorrow, the thanks we give isn't a hypocritical or an insincere thanks, but it's an attitude that recognizes God's will is good. God's will is always good. And in the end, I want God's will to be done. Thanksgiving involves saying that. As hard as it may be sometimes, I am thankful because I see God's will is being done. And I would rather have God's will done than my own will. In the text, Paul stresses this aspect of thanksgiving, of having a sincere joy and contentment in one's heart, by those two words especially that we read, in everything. In everything, Paul says, we must give thanks. And those two words, in everything, are all inclusive. It means everywhere you go, in every place, in every situation, at every moment, everywhere and always, give thanks. It doesn't mean that we merely give thanks for the good and reluctantly endure through the bad. It doesn't mean we give thanks for the good and we overlook the bad or push the bad off to the side. It doesn't mean we give thanks for the good and say that the bad doesn't come from God, but it comes from somewhere else. But it means this, acknowledging that everything comes from our Heavenly Father's hand, and that God is worthy of glory in everything He does and gives us. It means receiving all things from God's hand with joy and contentment, and responding to all of God's works in our lives with those words, thank you. Now, when we read this verse, and we read it in its context, we might get the impression that Paul writes this verse somewhat offhandedly. Now, we know that isn't true, but you might get that impression, as if it's merely part of a checklist that Paul has written. He writes in verse 15, see that none render evil for evil. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And now, in everything, give thanks. But when you know the congregation to whom Paul is writing, when you know the struggles and the trials they were going through, then you understand that every word of Paul here in this verse is full of weight and significance. Because the Thessalonians at this time were going through hard, difficult times. First, the members of the church at Thessalonica were experiencing severe persecution. They called themselves Christians, and they were striving to obey God's word, but that meant for them harassment, affliction, and persecution at the hands of their neighbors in their city. In fact, the persecution in Thessalonica was so severe that Paul himself had to flee the city in the middle of the night so that he could escape from the persecution. Second, the members in this church were mourning the loss of loved ones. The impression we get when we read this letter is that the persecution was so severe that some members in the congregation had died because of the persecution. And the congregation was mourning the deaths of their loved ones in the church. And they were mourning the deaths of loved ones even at a time when they weren't sure what they were supposed to believe concerning the resurrection and concerning the hope of eternal glory. And then besides these things, there were also tensions in the church at Thessalonica. Some of the members in the church questioned Paul's preaching and Paul's motives in the preaching. They weren't happy with how he was preaching. Some of the members were unhappy with the lifestyles that other members in the church were living. Yet in all these hardships, Paul writes at the end of his letter, in everything, you saints at Thessalonica, give thanks. The church is going through severe persecution. Give thanks. You're mourning the loss of loved ones. Give thanks. There are struggles and tensions, and you have to fight against sin. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And these are not merely Paul's words to the Thessalonians. These are God's words to His people and His church of all ages. This command comes to Randolph Protestant Reformed Church this morning. In everything, give thanks. For the name and the place we have here in this church, give thanks. For the families and the individuals and members of the church, give thanks. For the rich heritage that we have been given in the Reformed faith. For the church order that calls us to have a service on Thanksgiving Day. For the creeds and the confessions in the back of our Psalter, give thanks. For the preaching of the word in this late time and hour in history, give thanks. For the catechism classes and the memory work that we have to do as students. For the Bible studies and the preparation we can do for Bible studies. For the call to worship every Sunday morning twice. For the council and consistory meetings. For all the committees we can be a part of, give thanks. For the denomination we belong to, and for the unity and the truth we enjoy together, give thanks. In your own personal situations and circumstances at this time, give thanks. For the persecution you might be suffering because of your faith. For the struggles and hardships you might face at work. For the sacrifices you might be called to make for your family and for God's church. Give thanks. In the marriage relationship. In the single life. With children. Without children. With children who are walking in the faith. With children who are not walking in the faith. In everything, give thanks. For God pointing out your weaknesses time and time again, humbling you, give thanks. For health, for food and drink, for the crops and the harvest and prosperity, give thanks. For sickness, for disease, for famines, for hard times and drought, for everything that's given to us, for everything that's given away, taken away from us, give thanks and bless the name of the Lord. For God's sovereign rule over our country at this time, for the growth and development of sin that we see in the country, even as we see and understand God is using that for His own purposes, to gather His church so that Christ might come again, give thanks. For the freedom we have to have our own Christian schools, to do mission work and evangelism, give thanks. For the realization that one day these freedoms will be taken away from us, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And notice, this isn't merely a suggestion Paul gives to the Thessalonians. This is a command. God gives us this as a gentle command. In everything, give thanks. Why? Why do we give thanks in everything? What's the reason we have? Well, Paul explains in the second part of the verse, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We give thanks to God in our lives because this is God's revealed will for us. Scripture emphasizes throughout to give thanks to God in everything. In Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 20, we read this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians 2, verse 7, we are commanded to abound in thanksgiving. In Colossians 3, verse 15, we read, "Be ye thankful." That's why God has created us, so that in our lives we might be thankful to Him. And really, those words, the second half of verse 18, doesn't apply merely to the first part of verse 18. It applies to verses 16 and 17 as well. Rejoice evermore, because that's the will of God for you. Pray without ceasing, for that is the will of God for you. In everything, give thanks, because this is God's will for you. And notice how personal this language is. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You Thessalonians, in your hardships and struggles, you children of God, individually, in everything, this is God's will for you to give thanks. Well, in the scriptures, we have some beautiful examples of men, of God's people, who understood this. Who knew that God's will for their lives was to give thanks in everything, and who did give God thanks in everything. In Acts 16, verse 25, we read of Paul and Silas in Philippi, being scourged and whipped and thrown into the innermost part of the prison, tied with shackles. And what do they do in the middle of the night, in the middle part of the prison? We read that they prayed and they sang praises unto God, giving God the thanks, because they knew this was God's will for them in their life. Earlier on in the book of Acts, in Acts 5 verse 41, what did the apostles do when they were arrested, when they were beaten and thrown into prison and then commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore? We read, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They knew, this is God's will, and I give God thanks in it. And perhaps the most profound giving of thanks that's recorded for us in the Scripture is this: the giving of thanks that our Lord and Savior Himself gave the night before His crucifixion. In Luke 22, verse 19, when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, we read, "And He took bread and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is My body, which is broken, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Now, what was Jesus giving thanks for there the night before His crucifixion? As He held that bread in His hand, as He was instituting the Lord's Supper that would commemorate His suffering and dying on the cross until His return. Ultimately, He must have been giving thanks for what God was going to do in His life, that God was going to accomplish His own purposes and will in having Christ crucified on the cross to save His people from their sins. Even as Christ looked forward to the cross and the agony and the wrath He would experience on the cross, He could still give thanks to God, because He knew, this is the will of God concerning me, and God's will is good. And these examples are given for our sakes, beloved. We are called to give thanks in everything, just as our Savior Himself could give thanks in everything unto His heavenly God and Father. What we need to realize is that this is ultimately the essence of the Christian life. This is why you are a Christian. This is why God has saved you, so that with your life you might show thanks unto God. Thankfulness is the tenor of the Christian's life. Thankfulness is the soft music that's always playing in the background of our lives. Thankfulness is the chorus, the refrain, the theme of each one of our days. Morning, noon, and evening, thanksgiving will find its way into the prayers of God's people. As Christians, bought with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our whole attitude in life is this: how can I show my thanksgiving, my gratitude for what Christ has done for me? Not merely will I be thankful, but how can I show that I am thankful? And really, thankfulness is the best gauge for determining how we are doing spiritually. Don't judge your spiritual health so much by your church attendance. Don't judge your spiritual health so much by how much money you put in the collection plate. Don't judge your spiritual health so much by your participation in Bible study or different committees. But judge your spiritual health by asking yourself this: am I thankful? Am I glad with how God is working in my life? Am I glad? Am I content? And do I express my happiness with how God is leading all things for me? You see, when you ask that question, then you get really to the heart of the matter, don't you? That's why I go to church. That's why I give in the collection plate. That's why I participate in Bible study. Because I am thankful, and I want to show my thankfulness in all of my life. And that calls for some self-examination. Am I thankful? Am I content in my life? There are many things in our lives that can get in the way of giving true thanksgiving, aren't there? Here are just a few. We can often have a selfish attitude when it comes to our ability to give thanks. So that we say, I'd rather have my way to be done, my plans and purposes to be fulfilled, than God's way and God's plan. And when we think that way, and then we see our will not coming to pass, it's easy to become bitter and ungrateful and discontent with God. Impatience is another hindrance to true thankfulness. Why can't things just go a little faster? If we could just keep moving through with this and get things done, then I would be happy. But the attitude of impatience tells us, I would rather do things according to my schedule than according to God's schedule. And then it's difficult to give thanks. Worldliness, greed, jealousy, envy, setting our affections on things below, all get in the way of being able to give thanksgiving to God. A critical attitude towards others, a critical attitude towards others in the church gets in the way of giving true thanksgiving. And then most of all, doubting God. Doubting God's promises gets in the way of true thanksgiving. We underestimate God's power, or we question God's wisdom in how He is doing things, or we doubt His promises. And as a result, we hesitate to give thanks because it's hard for us at those times to believe that God is working all things for our good. Am I thankful? Are you thankful? Are we giving thanks in everything? Can you give thanks in even the most trying and difficult circumstances of your life? Can you give thanks at the financial burdens that have been placed upon you? Can you give thanks for the weaknesses in your body, the afflictions and the real physical pain, and the mental anxiety that comes with it? Can you give thanks in the midst of death? Can you give thanks during those storms in your lives of deep affliction and darkness? Can you give thanks when you weep at your bedside at night? Can you give thanks when God causes you to see how shameful your own sins are? God's word comes to us with that gentle command, in everything, give thanks. But then you say, how can I? How is it possible that I give thanks in everything? You haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know the circumstances that I'm going through, the pain and the turmoil in my heart. Maybe you even want to give thanks, but you question whether you should because you don't understand how you can be thankful in your circumstance. Well, when we're looking at our circumstances and our trials, and when we're looking only at ourselves, then it will be impossible for us to give thanks. The only possibility in which we can give thanks is this: when we have our eyes focused away from ourselves and on the wonder of salvation God has accomplished for us in Christ. That's also the meaning of that second phrase of the text: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for you as His people. And because you are in Christ, and because this is God's will, God will also give you the grace and strength you need to give Him thanks in everything. We must remember that. As God's children, everything that God commands us to do, He also gives us the grace sufficient to do it. And God has given us to Christ exactly so that in our lives, with everything, we might live a life of thanksgiving. That is God's will for us. For the unbeliever, true thanksgiving really isn't possible. First, the unbeliever doesn't acknowledge that all things come from God's hand. And even if they would acknowledge that things come from God's hand, they still will not give God the thanks because they don't want God to receive the glory. Remember what we've looked at in the catechism. We hate God by nature. We wouldn't want God to receive any of the glory by nature. And then third, ultimately, from one point of view, the unbeliever, the one who is left in himself, doesn't have anything to be thankful for from one point of view. Because he's not in Christ, he doesn't have anything. He has nothing without Christ. But for the believer, for the one who is in Christ, who belongs to Christ, he has everything. And so he can be thankful in everything also. It's possible because we know God's promises and God's favor upon us. It's possible for us as God's people to be thankful in everything because we know the words of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for them that love God. Do you love God, people of God? All things are working together for your good. We can give thanks because we know the words of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Child of God, He has an expected end for you, an end that will end in peace. And therefore, we can be thankful in everything. It's possible because we know the words of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, where Paul writes, everything is for your sakes. Everything in your life, in the life of your neighbor, in the life of everyone in the world, everything is for your sakes, child of God. It's possible ultimately because we have Christ and we belong to Christ. And having Christ and belonging to Christ, we know that the joy we have in Christ rises higher than the misery and struggles of this earthly life. And that the joy we have in Christ will ultimately do away with the misery. And that the joy we have in Christ, even the misery, is being used to fulfill that joy in Christ. In Christ, everything is for our good, and we are more than conquerors. And that's where this verse also stands in close connection with the previous two verses. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. These things go together. It's in the way of rejoicing evermore that we can give thanks in everything. It's when we're praying without ceasing that we have the grace to give thanks in everything. And when we're not rejoicing, when we're neglecting to pray without ceasing, then it's difficult, well nigh impossible, to give thanks in everything. But doing those things, rejoicing, praying without ceasing, it comes together so that God gives us also the grace to give thanks in everything. People of God, the age that we live in is a thankless age. People are greedy. People are selfish. They are impatient. They are unhappy. And they have no real use for a Thanksgiving Day. But do not let the influence of this world rob you or take away the true thanksgiving and the true joy we have in this day. In Christ, you have everything. And in Christ, you can be thankful in everything. Fulfill the word of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Jesus Christ and that we belong to Him. We thank Thee for the wonder of salvation, the wonder merely of grace in which we are saved and made Thy people. And we thank Thee that we can look at everything from that perspective, that everything we can look at from the point of view that we are Thine in Christ, and everything is for our good and salvation. And then when we look at everything that Thou dost give to us, our homes, our families, the food on the table and the clothes on the back, and then we look at everything that Thou hast been pleased not to give us, then may we give thanks, knowing that everything is a blessing. Everything that is not given is for our blessing, for the joy that we have in Christ. Forgive our sins, Father. Forgive our unthankfulness. And give us the grace and spirit to live our lives always, showing our gratitude for the salvation we have in Christ. In His name alone we pray. Amen.